They don't have any personal integrity at all on any truth. Basically, they can flatter anyone and anything to achieve their own personal purposes. They don't have any morality or integrity or character at all. So such people actually cannot have serious, cannot have any, like for example, if you see the freedom fighters, many of them, Gandhi and many other people, they actually lived for the nation and they gave their life. Of course, it's an illusory platform. But that is, you know, one step lower than the spiritual platform. But the Shastras glorify people who give their life for the nation also, on a mundane platform. Patriotism is glorified. One step below that, people having morality and living, like there are so many examples of kings who lived for the truth. They would lay down their life for the truth, like that. So, in the same manner, when one comes to Krishna consciousness, we surely have to accept the transcendental morality, and which may be very difficult for people who are ordinarily moralless. So that can only be achieved by gradually, over a period of time, you know, surrendering to Krishna, serving Krishna, gradually the pure faith will come. And then one can, you know, defend the principles of Siddhanta of Krishna consciousness at that point of time. Now, why I was talking all these things? One is too much attached to morality. Then that can become an obstacle in developing knowledge of transcendental morality. That's one thing. Another thing is, if one is too much attached to morality on a mundane platform, morality and also, as I said, some values and character principles, then we may become unduly critical of devotees. Say, for example, if a devotee does some mistake and a karmi does some mistake, out of the two you will become more angry with whom? Let us take a raise of hand. How many of you will become more angry with devotees? Okay. How many of you will become angry with karmis? Only a handful. Okay. I'll give you a practical example. Say a devotee has stolen money. Some another devotee. He stole a mobile or money or something like that. And the karmi is stealing mobile or money. So how many of you will become angry with the karmi? And okay, those of you who are raising hand now, you will not become angry with devotee if he steals mobile? That's what I'm saying. No, I'm asking, you'll become more angry with whom? With the karmi, how many of you become more angry with the karmi than a devotee? You understand? You will become more angry with the karmi person outside who stole a mobile from devotees. You will become angry with him. Or a devotee stole a mobile from other devotees. You will become angry more with whom? With the karmi or with the devotee? Yeah. Now I am asking, is there anyone here who will become more angry with the karmi, more angry than becoming angry with the devotee? You understood my question? Yeah. So generally, we will become more angry with the devotee because the devotee has more knowledge about everything. So we become more angry. So when devotees do mistakes, when devotees do sinful activities, we become overthrown by anger. Especially when you are sticking to certain morals and values and principles, and you know, you are oriented towards character, then if somebody says, no, I will become angry with the outside person, with devotee, I will never become angry, he is likely to be sentimental many times. They like to see, go to the sentimental platform. And one should become angry with the devotee, but when one becomes excessively angry with the devotee, then one becomes contaminated again. Now, why one shouldn't become excessively angry with the devotee? Of course, somebody stole mobile or money or something like that. First of all, the item should be recovered from them, and we should find out how they should be punished. And there are people to punish also. Their authorities are there and they will punish them. But even after authorities punish, sometimes you will see in the outside world what people do. If somebody stole pickpocketing or something, he did, they capture him. And the police already captured him. People also want to beat him. Somebody wants to kick him also. You have seen that? Some extra beating people give sometimes. Similarly, sometimes if a devotee did some mistake, others relish in doshkatha. Doshkatha means in delighting in magnifying the faults in that devotee. You understand? Okay, a devotee did a fault and is punished also by the authorities. But others delight in keeping repeating it to different people. And this is where the ninda becomes magnified. It's very bad it is. Because, you know, we are living in a faulty world and many people are faulty. They have faulty consciousness and everything. And they are going to commit faults. And somebody is committing faults, somebody is punishing him, somebody is his authority, and this world goes on. And we should not unnecessarily become a part of it. Whether it is in devotee community, whether it is in outside world. Unfortunate are those who have become managers, who have to find fault. See, who can be a manager? A manager is one who can find fault and give the punishment and still continue to love that person. Only then he can be a manager. Now that he found a fault, he punished him, and then he develops a lifelong vengeance towards that person. He cannot be a manager. That's not allowed. That's why manager job is a very tough job. Actually, many times Vaishnavas don't like to become managers because of this reason. Because it is closely connected to their spiritual advancement. If we become a vengeful manager by hating some devotee, developing hatred for a devotee, because when you become manager, you will get to see the faults more easily. You know? So, a person can never become vengeful. We should always see everyone, that ultimately everyone is a devotee of Krishna. Ultimately, you know, there is no one faultless. You know, we all commit mistakes. So he has committed mistake and punishment is given, forget it. So that is why the first offense talks about offending devotees. One should be very careful. Always remember the connection of the devotees to Krishna. And then, in case a devotee committed a mistake, like I told you the sound system, we can forgive the devotee, understanding that maybe he has put in his efforts to keep the system perfect. Yesterday he must have charged the battery. Sometimes you charge the battery in the night, but the whole night power was not there. And the next day morning you bring the battery, buru 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 buru, sound is coming. It's not charged properly. Now we can fire the devotee, why you have not charged it. But he may have his excuses, or he may have his reasons. So even after a person is trying to do his best, the systems are ultimately in Krishna's control. Understanding that a devotee should tolerate. We should tolerate. Otherwise, you know, there is no end in this world to finding fault. We can find fault with everyone. So, when we see fault in ourselves, that I am not all perfect. Even I do come. For example, in those days I used to get really angry on those who used to forget things. Like some father or mother called up, is the brahmachari there? You please give him this information. And this fellow will say, okay, you don't worry, I will tell everything and all that. Then afterwards, this fellow will become busy and he will forget. Then again the call will come in the evening and the parents will call, who is the president? Give the phone to president. And then they will give it to me and say, your people are useless. You know, we gave information 5 times and they have not conveyed to my son. You know, who all you convey? Tell me the names. I will note the names and call the devotee and scold the devotees. How can you forget? Parents are calling. You know, we want to earn the goodwill of the parents and you people are... How can you forget? Somehow I forgot, but how can you forget? What do you want me to do, Prabhuji? You know, if you want me to stand upside down, I can stand. Somehow I forgot, but how can you forget? A devotee should not be imperfect. Later on I found that I also forget sometimes. Then after that, I realized, nobody in this world is perfect. When we realize that, then we come to a point, mistakes can happen by everyone. Even one who is perfect in a certain field. In fact, Krishna will show us that in certain field where we consider ourselves to be perfect, he will show that we are not perfect. Like for example, somebody may be very loving, very kind, and everything, everyone is glorifying, is thinking I am all perfect. Suddenly Krishna will show a mistake. You see? We have these problems. So, we have to, that is why he says, don't offend devotees. There is That becomes a very big stumbling block in advancement in spiritual life. Because these are all petty things. Somebody commits a mistake, one fellow commits a mistake, one fellow punishes, and the life goes on. Why should we put our nose in between and unnecessarily take it to... If you are not a manager, you can be the most cool-headed person. Because you are not responsible for anyone. You understand this point? That means there is no reason for you to offend anyone. If you are not a manager. Because first of all, you are not responsible. It's like an old lady was in a village, and then they were like in Balewadi, you know. There was a big stadium, thousands of people came to the stadium, and then she started having anxiety. How will all these people eat? Where will they be accommodated? They have come to Balewadi. Now who will run the show? And her grandson was there. He told her, you know, oh, old lady, you keep quiet, don't worry. You know, she was running here and there. And then 3 days the stadium was occupied by people. Everything was arranged. Somebody else arranged it. Because managers will arrange it. They arranged the food, accommodation, everything, and they all got over. And lady said, thank God, 3 days somehow it got over. Now I have no anxiety now, she was telling. But she did nothing in those 3 days. Like this, we take the anxieties of the world on our head. Unnecessarily. So which devotee has what fault? That is not our concern. Every devotee is carrying his own prarabdha karma in the previous life. Somebody has a teeth outside, like that you've seen some people. Somebody has a big nose, somebody has a stout body, isn't it? Somebody is black, somebody is fair. So there are physical disformities in devotees' external appearances. In the same manner, there are psychophysical disformities also in devotees. Some devotee is rude, some devotee is polite, some devotee is lusty, some devotee is greedy, some devotee eats this much prasad, some devotee eats this much prasad, yeah. Prabhuji, why you are eating this much only, you know, eat more. Another devotee eating this much, Prabhuji, kyun itna daba daba kar kaate ho? So, actually, you know, if you start worrying about, some people have a desire to find out who is doing what, everyone. My Lord, you cannot live your life peacefully. So, managers have to worry, not you. Then why should you offend devotees? So, we have so much to worry about ourselves. We have a lot of things to improve ourselves. So, he says, don't offend devotees. And don't offend the demigods. Have proper. Demigods should be respected. But they should not be respected as equal to Krishna. And similarly he says that don't offend the spiritual master. One should not become envious of the spiritual master. Like the Vyas Puja day, the spiritual master is glorified like God. So one shouldn't become envious. Why this person is so much glorified? Sometimes people cannot tolerate that glorification. Why? Hour after hour, one person is being glorified. So then it is, Acharya maam vijaniyam na avamanyeta karhichet na martya buddhya asuyeta sarvadeva mayoguru. He says, na martya buddhya asuyeta. Don't become envious. Not only our own guru, even any other guru. Like, you know, there was another guru other than Raghunath Swami. So his disciple had written 108 glories of his guru. And then he came and told one devotee in Bombay, and that devotee came to Shamanpur and said, and that devotee was laughing, just see Prabhuji, this fellow claims that he has written 108 glories of his guru. How is it possible? Ha 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 ha. He was laughing. And he was telling, all I know is that, you know, his guru knows only one thing. You know, he only can sing beautifully or something like that. Then Shamanpur asked him, okay, I will give an assignment. How many glories of your spiritual master can you write? He said, how many? It's an offense to even ask like this, Prabhu. Because I can tell you unlimited glories of my guru. He said, Rana Swami is so great. I can tell you day after day after day, month after month, I can be speaking. He said. Then Shamanpur said, you see, just as you can see glories in your guru, he can see glories in his guru also. Because you cannot see, you should not offend him, because you are envious of him, he said. So, we should not become envious of any guru, because Guruun, we say, Guruun means all the gurus. included. So we should not offend spiritual masters. And they, spiritual masters are all trying to represent Krishna to their best. And they are all trying to represent Prabhupada. And whatever faculties and facilities Krishna has given them, accordingly, keeping that with them, they are trying to give their body, their mind, their words purely. They are trying to put their best. And when they are trying to offer their best service to the world, and if somebody finds fault with them, then we become offensive. So don't offend devotees, don't offend demigod, don't offend Krishna, sorry, don't offend Guru, he says. So offense also can occupy our mind. For example, if I find fault with someone, again, or if somebody insulted me, say for example, that is very powerful in keeping our mind pinned down to the ground level. We cannot elevate our mind. Like even if your counselor or somebody tells you some good thing for you, you know, don't do this or do that or something, you became offended. How my counselor found fault in me? How this senior found fault in me? You know, he doesn't actually know who I am. You know, sometimes we feel like that. So, and then when you try to sit to chant, you know, he always finds fault with me. I think he's becoming envious of my spiritual advancement. So, you'll find the mind is so crazy, you know, simply crazy mind, foolish mind. What is he going to do by telling you your fault? He's telling you your fault so that you will be saved from going to Maya. So, this offensive mentality towards devotees sometimes occupies the mind and does not let us chant peacefully. Similarly, so one should avoid these kind of offenses. If you don't avoid, then the mind becomes unhealthy, diseased. It's a diseased state. Anger, envy, greed, pride, these things occupy the mind. Then one cannot peacefully chant. The another thing I was telling you was faith. Those faith in the glories of the holy name and everything. Yeah. Actually, genuine faith has to be developed. There is no substitute for it. You cannot substitute that genuine faith with anything. Because the whole spiritual life is founded on faith only. Due to our own intellectual you know, scholarship in education and studies in material science. If one is unable to develop faith in the spiritual subjects, spiritual subject matter and spiritual items, we can only consider it unfortunate. And true faith has to be developed. In fact, a little substance of faith is there in all of us, otherwise we won't be here. But that little faith has to be, komal shraddha has to be fanned. Yesterday I was talking, you can do it in two ways, I told you. You could do it by serving a very advanced pure devotee, and you can get a lot of faith in a very short time. It's like a shortcut, very quick. Another way to get faith is to study the scriptures deeply, systematically, and dwell on them, contemplate on them, observe the world around based on what scriptures are saying, observe life, and develop a very deep-rooted faith in Krishna, in scriptures, in Prabhupada, in Guru, in Vaishnavas, in everything. And especially faith in the holy name, as it is said here. So one should have faith. Once I was asking a group of boys, one boy was telling, Prabhuji, this holy name, it is so difficult. I just don't get any concentration. It's just going out of bounds. It's not... So... It is disgusting, it is so difficult for me to continue, he said. Then I asked him, is it like that every day? It's not like that every day. At least some days you must have got some taste. Other days you don't have any taste. So, that some taste Krishna gives so that you will not leave him, leave his lotus feet. He gives some taste someday. But actually, if you develop a very firm faith, you know what is the platform of firm faith? The firm faith platform is explained in Bhagavatam purport. Prabhupada says one comes to the presence of Krishna in the platform of complete faith. In other words, Shinvatam Sakata Krishna Punna Shavana Kirtanat Hridayantastoki Abhadrani Vidunoti Suhrat Satam. Satam means what? When you say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. When one is chanting like this, one's heart is filled with thoughts. Oh Krishna, please pick me up from this world of birth and death. Please pick me up from this world of misery and world full of faults. Pick me up from this world, dirty world, where all living entities are stooped in sense gratification. Please Krishna, you are supremely pure. You are paramam pavitram. You are the supreme personality of Godhead. You are the supreme father of all living beings. You are the supreme teacher. You are the supreme well-wisher. You are the friend of everyone. You are the master of everyone. You are the witness of all activities. And at the same time, you are extremely kind. You are extremely forgiving. That's why you are accepting Apichet Sudaracharo Bhajate Mam Ananya Bhag. I am sure you will be able to, you will be ready to forgive me for all my sins, and you will wipe out all my sinful reactions and pick me up. Please take me to your abode. Engage me in the service of your lotus feet. Let me always delight in living with devotees. So, this kind of the prayerful mood will occupy the heart of the devotee, because the devotee doesn't find anything else meaningful in this world. And also, when a devotee has developed faith in the holy name, by hearing Ajamila Upakhyan, how Ajamila was delivered, a devotee develops genuine faith. So he says, Satam means what? Truthful devotee means. When he says Hare Krishna, he's actually calling Krishna. He's actually calling Radharani. He's seeing Radha and Krishna are there, and he's talking to them. He's actually speaking to them. Please engage me in your service. Please engage me in your service. Relieve me from Maya service. And initially the devotee hears only the name. And then the form of the Lord is revealed. And then the qualities and characteristics of the Lord, which are very fine in nature, they are all revealed to the devotee. Krishna, I was telling you yesterday morning, Bhakta Vatsalita, Dina Bandhuta, these qualities of the Lord, they are all revealed. And as devotee keeps chanting, then the pastimes of the Lord are revealed. Of course, the Leela Smaran and Guna Smaran, they should not be mixed with Namasmaran. Namasmaran means only hearing the holy name. One should not try to imagine the gunas of Krishna or the leelas of Krishna. You chant the holy names attentively, and if Krishna wishes, then he may reveal his pastimes. So, in this way, when one develops, actually this faith should be like the faith having, faith of the child in the mother, that type of faith. Actually, you know, children have such faith in the mother. Like for example, even when the school ends in the afternoon, you can see in the elementary schools, thousands of children are running here and there, and parents come, and the child is looking for that one face of the mother. So many mother's faces he's seeing. Who is it? Who is it? And that one particular face, he sees, immediately he's running with both the hands up. And the child has complete faith. This mother, she is my protector. She will not abuse me, she will not kill me. She is my ultimate well-wisher. I can completely give myself to her. Similarly, the mother also is looking. There are so many children running here and there. Where is that one particular child? She is looking for the child. As soon as she sees that, there is a child. So, we all have had faith in our parents like that. That type of faith we need in Krishna actually. Further, we have to study philosophy nicely. Krishna is not envious of Shishupal. He is not envious. Krishna is not lusty for the gopis. We have to get completely convinced about these facts. Because we have suspicion. Maybe Krishna was envious of Shishupal. Maybe, although these devotees keep glorifying Krishna, I think he was a little lusty for the gopis. He was also like anybody else in this world. People think like that. Because Krishna cut off the neck of the washerman, maybe he was trying to dominate or exploit. So these kind of thoughts will choke our progress. And same way, We have to come to a point when we have complete faith in Krishna. And also Krishna's holy name. So the scriptures tell many, many truths. The fourth offense, and one is unable to have faith, you should go to people who are having faith and ask them, Prabhuji, I'm not able. Yesterday, Gaurang was telling about the number of monkeys in Lord Ramachandra's army. One may be wondering, what is this? Is it really true? So many monkeys can be there. Can Sri Lanka accommodate this many monkeys? So, actually, how this is true, all the spiritual leelas, the pastimes, they are enacted on which platform? On the Antaranga Shakti platform, internal potency platform, in spiritual platform. So, when you see from middle point of view, you are certainly right. Such truths are impossible. That even we don't deny. We also agree with you. Such things cannot happen on a material platform. Materially, for example, if Lord is putting elephant into the eye of a needle, materially it's not possible. But when Lord is doing on a spiritual platform, there is no limitation of space and time. The Lord's pastimes mean the Lord is descending from the spiritual sky. He descends along with his spiritual, everything, all spiritual paraphernalia. It's all situated on a spiritual platform. So he can do such things. And if we start taking our calculator and calculating with our calculator, we will only become bewildered. Actually, a stage comes where one will develop a deep faith that such things are possible. That type of faith will come. That is also a gift of God. It is not blind faith. We will come to a point where we will understand that Lord can do anything. And so, the faith in the holy name also, chanting of the holy name will come. So, 4th, 5th, 6th and 9th, they are all talking about faith in the holy name. And the 10th one, I told you, the desires, material desires are very powerful in pinning us down to the material platform. We cannot rise above and chant. So all of you can do this self-exercise. What are the desires that, like for example, one boy came and told me, Prabhuji, I don't have any desire for siddhis, acquiring siddhis. Nor I have desire for mukti. And he said, I also, I don't have desire for having a chariot, having elephants, having horses. So many things Parikshit Maharaj was having and he gave up. Even I can also give up. Actually, when we read the Shastra, we should see it from the modern day point of view. If you see, so what is the equivalent of chariot? A car, yeah. Isn't it? Don't we have attachment to having a computer, having a laptop, having a car, having a bungalow, having wife? Or is there anyone who doesn't have any desire for name and fame? You may not want to become like Alexander the Great, conquering the whole surface of the globe, but you may want to be famous in your own circles. Like for example, somebody wants to publish some papers and be famous. Somebody wants to, invent something new and be very famous. Somebody wants to be a distinction holder and be famous, isn't it? Or somebody wants to go abroad and get some degree and come back and be famous. So, actually material desires have to be analyzed and observed in the heart. We all have material desires, undoubtedly. So, that causes the heart to... That is a disease, actually. It's a disease of the heart, material desires. We cannot love Krishna honestly. With material disease. Actually, gradually the material disease have to be evaporated from the heart. And one of the ways to do is to constantly chant for a long time. Not just chant 16 rounds, 20 rounds, 225 rounds. Ekadashi day chant some 64 rounds, 50 rounds, 32 rounds. You will see that if you loudly chant and you attentively hear, they smash the material disease to dust, into powder. They can quit. They can throw away all the material desires gradually. Basically, what is material desire? They are all seeds. I want this. I want this. I want this. That's a seed which is impelling us. Because somebody finds something very special there. Like children are after balloon, 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 balloon. Is there anyone here who will cry for a balloon now? Yeah, but we have bigger balloons for which you may cry for. bigger balloon may be like a woman, huh? Or a bungalow. One may be hankering for it. So, material desires create hankering, and the heart which has hankering cannot chant Krishna's names peacefully. If hankerings are there, we cannot chant peacefully. Because that just occupies the mind, that's all. It just occupies the mind, it keeps coming in the mind again and again. Craving for post, like one boy was telling me, Prabhuji, please make me OC of some boys. I told him, no, you should not ask like this. Vaishnavas never ask. Whenever you deserve to become OC, you will be called. So, he's chanting Hare Krishna and he's thinking, who is going to be the next OC? Maybe myself, you know. Maybe they will give me the post. Oh, this is a... Because this, when this boy asked, I could immediately understand that there's a craving for post and position amongst people. That is also a material desire. We should crave for one post. What is that post? Servant. And there is no competition for that. You know, yeah. That queue is very small queue. Yeah. You crave to become servant. And then if Krishna makes you master, you will continue to be servant. That also. So, material disease. And we all have to identify, because we are different type of material disease. Somebody is mad for a woman, somebody is mad for this, somebody is mad for that. Different material disease. And every one of us have to identify our material disease and find out how to remove it from the mind. So either we have to acquire the material desire, what we have, and we'll be done with it. Okay, like for example, before going to IIT, you know, I had a big dream. After going to IIT, I understood what is IIT. You go inside. Not that demigods are strolling around. They are also like normal people only. Not that they have descended from another planet. So, after you get a thing, sometimes the craving is finished. Like aeroplane, some people think, when will the day come when I will put my foot on an aeroplane and I will fly to America? When I look back, all my relatives will be waving hands. They will say, at last he has made it. He went to America. People think like that. So people have never gone in. How many of you have never traveled in a plane? Yeah, so you all are likely to have a fascination. So you may say, when will... Now you go in the plane for a dozen times, you know, it becomes like a PMT bus. you really get bored. Yeah, that is the material desires are like that. Crazy. Either you should be done with it, or by chanting we destroy it. You destroy the desire, or you be done with it. But we have to make our heart clean, so that the only thing that will reside in our heart is chanting of the holy name. That's all. Nothing else will be there. So the seventh offense I didn't talk. Why? It's a most dangerous offense. Seventh. For example, say if there is umbrella here, and somebody has taken the umbrella and gone out. So it's raining or something, and he took the umbrella and he comes and keeps it back in the same place. So I can catch him and say, hey, you are taking umbrella, you are umbrella thief. I can say that. And he may say, no, Prabhuji, I just wanted to go and give this and come. I never intended to steal the umbrella. I just wanted to use it and keep it back. Correct? It's likely. Say somebody took the umbrella and he went away. He didn't bring it. The next day he comes back and keeps it in the same place. He doesn't know whose is it. And then you catch him, hey, you took my umbrella. Then he says, Prabhuji, by mistake I took it. I don't know. When I was carrying my bag, it was lying on top of my back, I just took it also. By mistake. I'm sorry. See, these are all called as mistakes of the mind. Mistake of the mind. By unknowingly we all commit mistakes sometimes. And these are all forgivable. Mistake of the heart means jaan bujhkar paap karna. That is mistake of the heart. For example, I take the umbrella. Here and there, who is there? No one is there. Put in the pocket. Now you have no plans to return it back. You have decided to steal it. Then that becomes a bigger crime. In the same manner, if somebody is committing sin, like for example in youth, we are likely to commit many mistakes. For example, we know that, you know, we should not see dirty pictures, dirty posters. We should not see, like one boy said, Prabhuji, I went home, there were some newspapers lying here and there. Nobody was around, so he opened some page and again and again, repeatedly I was seeing some dirty pictures. He came and he was crying to me. I said, okay, you know, this goes to show that, you know, your lusty desires are cropping up again and again. You should try to be more careful, you know, while dealing with them. So next time you go, you be more careful. So it's a slip from our purity, platform of purity. And now, if somebody takes these newspapers from home and he carefully brings it to the voice and he keeps it in his locker and every day he takes darshan. Every day morning. So if you take Kunjabiyari darshan, you take darshan of newspaper also. And then he also thinks that I can, know. Anyway, now I'll take little darshan in the morning and after that I can chant my Hare Krishna. Are itna mala karte hain, swala mala. Dono balance ho jayega, no problem. Then it is seventh offense. It's a terrible offense it is. It's a most, because it's an attitude problem. What is it? Attitude problem. That's the most dangerous thing. Namno baladasi papa buddhi. So, in dealing with others also, this attitude problem will cause a serious problem. For example, while dealing with devotees, how we should deal? When we are dealing with devotees or even with Krishna, how should we deal? Oh Krishna, I want to serve you. Oh Krishna, I want to please you. Oh Krishna, I want to make you happy. Same attitude should be with devotees. Oh devotee, I want to care for you. I want to please you. I want to make you happy. And I want to become your servant. I want to serve you. This should be the attitude in dealing with any devotee. But if somebody thinks, I can get this done from this devotee for my own pleasure. If my pleasure, you know, my goals become, so if my attitude towards Krishna or the devotees is wrong, then chanting will be affected also. If one becomes exploitative for one's own selfish purposes, then attitude gets affected. Then one gets depression and frustration. If anybody is getting depression and frustration, they can take a look at their attitude. What is my attitude in dealing with devotees? What is my attitude in dealing with Krishna? You can see that. And that will cause problem in seventh offense. So, I categorized this whole 10 offenses in 4 categories. Offending someone, lack of faith in the holy name, and material desires, and attitude problem. So, by understanding in this manner, the way we are talking today, we can do some homework during the day. And during the day, we can do, otherwise the 10 offenses every day we recite, it is not much of consequence to us. Correct? How many of you feel like that? Correct? Isn't it? Yeah. Every morning we recite number 1 to number 10, we recite. And many times we feel we are alright only. Nothing wrong, I never do all these things. Everything is alright. But if you take a more closer look, you will find actually we have problems. We have problems. And we have to rectify these problems in chanting of the holy name. And when we take great caution, we can make a lot of improvement, lot of advancement. And as I was telling you, people with character or morality and everything, all these things, they also can doubt Krishna. Like Gandhi doubted Krishna. So we have to study Kunti Maharani's book, TQK, Teachings of Queen Kunti. Study it. If you want, you can hear Prabhupada's lecture also. Personally, it helped me a lot in those days, in my early days, when I was hearing these lectures and reading. You know, all my attachment to morality was cleansed. And I understood that Krishna is never envious of anyone. Krishna cannot envy anyone. In fact, nobody can kill him. He is eternal. He has an eternal, imperishable body. And Krishna is not afflicted by any of the anarthas that we are afflicted by. And then our chanting of the holy name, we can chant, we can call out Krishna with. Then we will want to be in Krishna's company. See, Radha and Krishna, even if they come here, what are they going to do? Suddenly they appear in front of you, called me, I have come now, what do you want? And you wonder, okay, now you can go back, I have many other things to do. Thank you for coming, now you push off. So, if they come, we should know how to offer prayers to them, which I will talk sometime in the morning class, I will talk more. So, chanting of the holy name has to be done in a certain attitude. So, the 10 offenses are very important. Even if one chants holy names for millions of lifetimes, one will not get Krishna prema if one does not avoid these 10 offenses. Like that it is said in the scriptures. That's why we are giving so much time to that. So, keep these things in mind. And a devotee means you should always be contemplative. Thinking of what is my state of consciousness? How am I dealing? How am I doing? And then only we can gradually identify the faults in us and we can avoid them carefully. Harinam Prabhu ki. Let's offer our humble obeisances unto all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord who are just like the deities, or ocean of mercy and full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Ananta koti vaishnava vrinda ki. Vaishnava Thakur ki. So now it's 5:45. You all can chant till 7:45.